let us pray. Well, God, it is your word that we long to hear this day. So take away anything which distracts us. Help us to center in you and upon your word for your church gathered here in this place this day. Through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. Amen. I invite you now to hear these words from the letter to 1 Peter. And as we listen, let's listen together for the word of God. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stones that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord. You are a living stone in the hands of your loving God. But you aren't some isolated stone. No, God wants to connect you to others, to shape you and all who follow in the way of Jesus, to shape us into a spiritual house. You are a living stone. And God will join you with others to make a spiritual house, and God will do that so that you can be part of the holy priesthood, so that you can offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And as God's royal priesthood, as God's church, you are a holy nation. You are God's own people. And with that identity, God gives you a purpose. God says to you, "You are my people for one reason, to proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into God's marvelous light." Well, maybe you've noticed. Maybe you've noticed that too many of us forget that we are the stones in the hands of a loving God. And instead, you may have noticed how we're tempted to think that we should not be stones, but rather pick up stones. That we need to pick up stones to throw at those who don't believe in God or who understand God in a way different from our own. And when we forget our purpose, our reason for being, that We are uniquely set apart to proclaim the mighty acts of God. Well, it's no surprise that we struggle. It's no wonder that we lose ground. And this isn't something the modern church discovered. This is a dilemma as old as the church. This letter, 1 Peter, was written to a group of people who had started out with such hope together, so much joy in their life together, but through times of persecution and despair and doubt, they had begun to lose hope and to wonder about their life together. They were a people who now needed someone to remind them of who they are, someone to call them back to themselves. They are living stones in the hands of a loving God. And so are you. So are we. You know, every time I think about what it means to be the church, there are two hymns in our hymnal that always jump to my mind. And there are a bunch of others that talk about it. We'll sing one at the end of the service today. It's not one I'm thinking about, but they'll know we are Christians by our love and that witness that we have, not only in our love for each other, but for the world. But there are two other hymns. One we're not singing today, the hymn, Christ Be Our Light. Do you remember that hymn? It's, I believe, number 314 in the book. But it talks about how the church gathers here, and we pray that we would be led by Christ's light to do all of the things that God calls us to do and to be. Maybe you remember, longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. And then that wonderful refrain, Christ be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light, shine on your church gathered today. Those voices, those calls that keep coming, longing for peace. Our world is troubled, longing for hope, many despair. Your word alone has power to save us. And like our children sang, make us your living voice. Make us your agents of peace. Longing for shelter, many are homeless. Longing for warmth, many are cold. Make us your building, sheltering others. Walls made of living stones. And then there's that problematic verse, the one that always troubles me, and I always want to correct it when we sing it. But the final verse says, many the gifts, many the people, many the hearts that yearn to belong. Let us be servants to one another, making your kingdom come. Now, theologically, the church does not make God's kingdom come. God does that. And so I always mentally sing it, signs of your kingdom come. The church is a sign of what God intends, a sign of the kingdom of heaven, an exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. So Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine in the darkness. Christ be our light. Shine on your church gathered today. The other hymn I think of is the one we will soon sing. Let us build a house. And again, you have to get past that sort of problematic theology to say it's a wonderful hymn, but we're not the ones building the house. This is God. We are the living stones in the hands of a loving God. Let yourselves be built. Let God build you into a spiritual house. But let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome. All are welcome in this place. And then let us build a house where love is found, and water and wine and wheat, a banquet hall on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Here the love of God through Jesus is revealed in time and place as we share in Christ the feast that frees us. All are welcome. All are welcome. All are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions heard, and loved and treasured, taught and claimed as words within the word, built of tears and cries and laughter, prayers of faith and songs of grace. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome. All are welcome in this place. Can we remember here that we are God's living stones, and that God is wanting to make of us a holy people, God's own people, sent into the world to love, ready to welcome and embrace, to give and to serve? Because the reality is, and you know this, the church is losing ground these days. Some of you will remember one of my favorite theologians who's long since retired now, but Douglas John Hall is his name. He served in Canada at a school of theology there, but his context was sort of like ours, this North American context. And he believed deeply. He loved the church deeply. But he also pointed to the church in North America and said, we have forgotten how to tell time. He said, we are standing in a moment when the church is losing or has lost much of its power and its influence in the culture. The trends we saw in Europe some 50 years ago and in Canada 25 years ago are now happening across the United States. We see it even in the southern United States that has a church on every corner, but the influence diminishing. My buddy Chris traveled to Canada and met with Douglas John Hall during his sabbatical, and he said the recurring thing that he kept hearing from him as he walked around Canada was, welcome to your future. The church in Montreal, once a bastion of religion, is a tenth of the size that it once was. Over 50 cathedrals in Quebec have been sold and turned into museums or community centers. The vast majority of Canadians, especially among the young, do not profess any religion. And Chris relates how Douglas John Hall said to him over and over again that what the church needs in this time of disestablishment is not another quick fix program, not a mere tinkering with the styles of worship in an effort to draw in the disaffected through entertainment, and certainly not pining after an old-time religion in an attempt to resurrect a time that is long gone. Know what is needed, says Douglas John Hall, is that for the people in this and every land are waiting and longing to hear. They are waiting for the gospel. You know, religion may be in some trouble, may even be dying, but faith will never die. As long as we try to make sense of our lives, to find purpose in our existence, then Christianity will always have a word. But the culture won't go for words that do not ring true and that don't spring from hearts captured by the gospel. They may not be able to find the words for it, but what people in and around our churches are seeking is not just a friendliness, not just good music, not just a communion together, not just a call to be and do better, a little quietness in the midst of a busy world. Some of that is there to be sure. But what they want and need is something far more radical than novelty and hope. They are waiting for the gospel. Last Sunday evening, here in this place, we had 17 students that you have been praying for and walking alongside. Our confirmation class was here being examined by the session, and I've got to tell you, it filled me with great hope because it showed the marks of your faith in their lives as well. A couple of weeks ago when Youth Sunday took place and they took over the leadership of our worship, the thing that I loved the most about it was clear that the rhythms of the church's worship had put marks in their lives, and they were ordered in such a way that grace, that radical grace that Romans proclaims, came through in their words and their actions. And then after the confirmation class last week, we examined the officers that you elected, four of the five. One was out of the country. We examined him before he left the country because we weren't certain he'd get back in, Dietrich. But what energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, and just that rich narrative of the faith and the community. You are living stones. You are living stones in the hands of a loving God. You know, 150 years ago, people first gathered to worship God as a congregation at this crossroads. And we are heirs of their vision, but here today, as the living stones in God's hands, God is building us into a spiritual house to offer sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ and to build a house where all are welcome and where love can dwell. You are living stones. Thanks be to God. And now, as God's people in this place, let's stand together to say what we believe. Who are you? And what does it mean to be a child of God? And what makes you a child of God? Don't you have to be good for God to love you?
No. God loves me in spite of all I do wrong.
And how do you thank God for this gift of love?
I promise to love and trust God with all my heart.
And how do you love God?
I